Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Enjoy a tall, cool dude.
What is this? What are we doing? What in God's name are we doing? Look, our lives. What kind of lives are these? We're like children. We're not men.
No, we're not. We're not men.
It's the Nightcap.
Are we going to be sitting here when we're 60 like two idiots?
We should be having dinner with our sons when we're 60.
We're pathetic, you know that?
Yeah, like I don't know that I'm pathetic.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
So then you asked yourselves, isn't there something more to life?
Yes!
Yeah, well, let me clue you in on something.
There isn't.
Welcome in to the final nightcap of the week. As tomorrow, we got the Bills and we got the Browns and we got preseason game number two. Pre-game will start at 4 o'clock, kickoff at 7:30. Hello, everybody. I'm Jody Biasi. Derek Kramer with me here tonight. I don't know why I said that. I haven't even thought about the Raiders today at all. I haven't thought about Derek Carr at all today.
It wasn't because John Gruden said Derek Carr is mastering the Raiders offense in a total fluff piece of
did he,
camp
did
stories?
Did he say that?
Yes.
That is a training camp I've ever heard one.
That's a training camp fluff piece.
Yeah, definitely. I don't even like Derek Carr that much as a quarterback.
I like Derek Carr.
Inconsistent.
He's got my name.
We got preseason football tonight. Super Bowl rematch. Eagles at the Patriots. There's another game. What's the other game? Is it the Steelers?
Steelers, Packers, and then Jets and Redskins.
Okay, so we got three games tonight. Nice.
Hey,
so a plethora.
I see how it is.
No, I sometimes. I stop paying attention when I hear preseason tonight. Maybe a lot of people just did that to me. I don't know.
Hey, man, preseason action is still cool because...
It's fine. It's fine to me when there's an intriguing young quarterback prospect.
It goes up by week in the preseason, and then it just hits this crater all of a sudden with the fourth week. So,
yeah.
There's going to be more interest in next week's game, and it's on a Sunday, too, which is kind of neat. And then...
Well,
after that, it just craters, and we're like, hey, can we get to
enough already, right?
Yeah.
But to me, like, it's hard to get a more intriguing preseason game than tomorrow night, especially for the Bills' sake, because you've got Tyrod Taylor on the other side. You've got – think about later in the game. Now, maybe Allen plays with the twos tomorrow, and this isn't the same as last week. But, like, last week against the Panthers – when most people would be, like, turning the game off when Matt Sims was in the game in the fourth quarter, like, it was Josh Allen in there. And, like, you got to see that. And this week, you got Josh Allen. And then when the Browns come out on the field, instead of having to see Garrett Gilbert for the Panthers, it's, all right, Tyrod, he's back. Let's see what he's got. Or it's Baker Mayfield. Let's see what he's all about. So, like, there's intrigue all over the place in this game tomorrow. It's going to be a really interesting game. I can't wait for it. I don't know if I've ever said that about a preseason game before, that I could not wait for a preseason game. But I'm excited to see what Allen's got tomorrow. I'm excited to see what Mayfield's got. Even the veteran guys. Taylor, McCarron, Peterman. All of it. And then we'll get to see a different look at it at Hard Knocks. That's another part of this. You'll get to see some stuff that you won't see tomorrow night. On Tuesday night, when HBO episode number 3 for Hard Knocks comes out. And I want to talk about Bills-Browns tonight. Not about the preseason matchup, though. But looking at the two franchises going forward on the long term and on the short term. Because, you know, I feel like nationally they maybe get grouped together. Northeast, Rust Belt, neither have really had much of any success in the last 15 years plus, other than the Bills making the playoffs last year. Like, the Browns now have the biggest drought in the NFL. The Bills had the longest drought in the NFL. Both just don't kind of register, I don't think, nationally, until now. Because they both went out and drafted young quarterbacks in the top 10. Mayfield for the Browns, Allen for the Bills. And the Browns are kind of a joke from what they've been on Hard Knocks, are they not? Like, people look at them like a joke. But yeah, it's Hugh Jackson, mainly.
Yeah, because Hugh Jackson's got these two huge personalities as his coordinators, sometimes just going at each other's throats in Greg Williams and Todd Haley. And it's kind of strange to have such personas underneath a guy that seems so mild-mannered like Hugh Jackson.
Yeah, and he seems like a real nice dude, and obviously he just went through a ton with both his mom and his brother dying, but I would want to cut him some slack, but then again, the way he seems to run his team versus what we saw from Sean McDermott yesterday in Embedded, two completely different things. Now, again, like, the Bills are picking out what they're showing from McDermott, and HBO's picking out what they're showing from Hugh Jackson. So you got to take it with a grain of salt. And I think head coach right now, I don't think anyone would say they would take Hugh Jackson over Sean McDermott. That's an advantage for the Bills. And let's do this right now. Let's talk about who would you rather be long-term, the Bills or the Browns? I think it's the Bills, but I feel like the feeling around here especially is, oh, I'd much rather be the Bills. Like, look at the Browns are just, they're a horribly run organization, 1-31 the last 2 years. But I'm talking about going forward. And while I do think I'd rather be the Bills, I don't think it's a blowout. I think it's kind of close. And the reason I think it's kind of close is because of the difference in quarterback. We don't know what the difference in quarterback is for sure, but they got the guy that went 1 overall. We got the guy that went 7th. They got the guy that doesn't have accuracy issues. We do. They got the guy who was amazing in college, Heisman, taking Oklahoma to huge games, beating big schools. And we got the guy who struggled in the Mountain West. So there's a lot of, and even preseason game number one, Mayfield looked consistent, accurate, super mobile in the pocket. Allen looked great at times and inconsistent in the others. So if I had to pick which quarterback I'd rather have right now, I would pick Mayfield. That's not an indictment on what Josh Allen's going to be, because we don't know what Josh Allen's going to be. We don't know what Baker Mayfield's going to be. But if we kind of did a redraft right now, and for some reason you gave the Bills the first pick, I would want them to take Baker Mayfield over Josh Allen. So the fact that they have the quarterback I'd rather have, I think that means it's closer. I think the likelihood that Mayfield busts is lower than the likelihood that Allen busts. Now, maybe the likelihood Allen is like an elite superstar quarterback is higher than Mayfield's, but I would still take Mayfield. I would give them the advantage long-term at quarterback right now. If I had to decide right now, sitting here today, I would do that. And if I'm picking between the two franchises right now, then that means I have to pick the quarterback based on right now, only what I have to work with. And then look at some of the other pieces. The Bills' offensive weapons are getting older. McCoy's 30. Clay is going to be coming up in the end of his contract here pretty soon. He's, 28, 29 years old. He might even be older than that. Kelvin Benjamin's been around for a few years. While Cleveland has some guys on their offense that we don't know that they're stars, like, they got youth on their side. They got David Njoku, who's a real nice-looking young tight end, first-round pick last year. They got Nick Chubb. They drafted a second-round running back. He's young. Duke Johnson's a young running back. Wide receiver, you just locked up Landry for a huge contract. I don't like Jarvis Landry. I will never root for Jarvis Landry. I would not want my team to sign Jarvis Landry, but I do acknowledge that he is a very good wide receiver. And he's not old. The other receivers are kind of iffy to me. I wouldn't give Cleveland a huge advantage at that position. Callaway looks like a nice player, but did you watch Hard Knocks with him? Derek, did you see the last episode? Holy cow. After the Coleman trade that they show, they're showing Callaway. And they started off by showing the marijuana arrest. Or it wasn't an arrest, but the sighting on the Sunday night. They show that. Then they show Callaway at practice either the next day or the day after, where he has yet to tell anyone in the Browns that that happened. And he's practicing out there. He's super quiet. He's like a lost puppy. Todd Haley actually comes up to him and like he's giving him like one word answers, his offensive coordinator. And Haley's like, yo, what's wrong? It's like, something's up. Like, you look like a lost puppy right now. And Callaway's just, like, not responding. He's just standing there not responding. Like, that screams immaturity to me from that player. So I can't just sit here and assume that Antonio Callaway is going to be some star receiver. I think he seems like the kind of guy that might be apt to get into trouble, obviously, with his history and then that showing in Hard Knocks. Like, you can't even look your bosses in the face and say you messed up. And they found out anyway. You knew they were going to find out. So I can't really make a judgment on any of the receivers past Landry. But I would still give the Browns an advantage there. I would give them an advantage on the offensive line. I would
lose Joe Thomas.
Yeah, but the Bills have Dawkins right now. And going forward, to me, that's about it. Like, looking 3 years down the line. At least the Browns got some young second-round picks that they got that, like, maybe they could be good. To me, again, that's not, like, a big difference. The reason I would pick the Bills is because head coaching, and I think they are way better set up on their defensive side of the football. So much so. I think their secondary is not only great right now, but is set up to be good for a long time. Because White is young, and Poyer and Hyde are young too. Not as young, but still, in their 20s. Cleveland just, what are they on defense? That's the only thing holding me back
Miles
from saying...
Garrett's
great.
Denzel Ward.
Rookie. There's reasons to be optimistic about the defense.
Is Dante Hightower still?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't think Dante
No, wait, no, it was there. Jamie Collins that got traded there.
And
Jamie
I don't
Collins
think he
is
there either.
Yeah. Jamie Collins was the one that got traded
No, he
there.
Still is on the Browns.
He's a solid.
31 tackles last year.
Oh, wow.
He must have been injured.
Had to have been.
Yeah, 6 games. He's had some injury issues, though. I love what the Bills are on defense. But I would pick the Browns if I had to pick personnel on the offensive side of the football. Quarterback is a part of that. Not just the rookie. I said I would take Mayfield over Allen right now. I would take Tyrod over McCarron or Peterman if I had to. I think he is a better quarterback than those two. Again, that's not a huge difference to me. And if we're talking about long-term stuff here, that doesn't factor into it too much. But I would pick him. There's a lot of reasons, I think, to be optimistic about if you're a Browns fan this year. Not just because, oh, we're going to be better than we have been before. Like, they could make some serious noise. I wouldn't be completely shocked. I think it's like a 6-7 win football team. I think they're going to be okay. I think the Bills will be right around there, too. Which is why I don't think it's crazy to say, oh, yeah, the Browns could be better than the Bills this year. I don't think it's crazy. I think we're acting like the Browns are what they've been the past 2 years. I don't see it. There's too much changeover, I think, on their offense to see that happen. Their plan for success last year was to have DeShone Kizer drop back to pass 40 times a game. And I think if he didn't set the NFL record, he was near it for turnovers in the red zone. Like, he was really bad last year. And at the very least, you know you're getting average quarterback play from Tyrod Taylor. And if Baker Mayfield works his way into the game, works his way in at some point, the number one overall pick, I don't know, I love Mayfield. I think he could really do great things for them, even on the short term. So, yeah. Like I said, I would take the Bills long term right now. And short term, I think I would too. But I think we're making it out to be like the Bills are just 10 steps ahead of a team like Cleveland right now. I don't think that's really the case. I think they're ahead. Maybe just a few steps. They still got to break their drought too. They're going on 2002, right? So 16 years. I mean, it's getting there. Or 15 years. The Bills would have been at 18, so 3-year difference. What do you guys think? 803-0550 is the phone number. How big a gap is there right now between the Bills and the Browns? Long-term and short-term. What are your thoughts? On Twitter, getting a lot of reaction. A lot of people saying it would be crazy to say that they're close. At the Bills Life says, I'd rather have the Browns roster, but I'd much rather have our coaches in front office. I completely agree with that. I don't know what to think of John Dorsey, though. I think I might just like him because he wears those sweatshirts in Hard Knocks. He wears the dad sweatshirts. Like the old, he's wearing like an old Browns gray sweatshirt from the 90s. I don't know, it looks pretty cool. But yeah, I would take Brandon Bean right now. And I would take Sean McDermott. So I agree with that. Hill says, totally agree. The gap is small. Wide receiver race has been fun for the Bills, but I would take the Browns. The overall sentiment, I think, Bob says, the Bills have a ton of picks and cap space next year. I'd take the Bills. Do we know what the Browns look like next year? The Bills don't have a ton of
draft picks. No, they have a standard amount.
Do they even have an extra one?
As a matter of fact, they have probably one less because they traded. No, wait, no, that's 2020. My mistake. 2020. They just have their standard amount of picks, I do believe.
Yeah, so cap space, that's another thing you could talk about here. The Bills do have a ton of cap space next year. So you're right. All those deficiencies I just mentioned on offense, I think the Browns are better than the Bills at. Like, the Bills could very well go out and fix that next year. And for, I know I shouldn't feel this way, but I feel better about Sean McDermott than I did 24 hours ago. After what, like, just being able to see that he's not just a robot that we see in the media, a guy that won't tell anybody anything, that doesn't really seem to have much of a personality. You try to talk about, like, just random stuff with him, he never really seems to bite on it. That could just be him with the media. And that kind of seems that way because I know it's just the Bills picking and choosing what they wanted to show and embedded. But I liked what I saw. I like that he was willing, or that he's willing, to let guys like Trey White have a personality. I love that. And you don't want too much of that, like what Rex Ryan did, where he just lets everybody go fly off the chain whenever they want to. But the last thing I would want is to have a head coach coaching my favorite football team and be like a drill sergeant, not allowing guys to be themselves. And McDermott seems like more of a down-to-earth, understandable guy, relatable guy after watching that last night. Then again, I'm still not sold on him because of all the game day situations. Like there's still, I think, some work to be done there. He was a rookie in that sense last year, but there were decisions in that Colts game. There was a mistake in that Falcons game. There were decisions in that Chiefs game that I think need to be corrected. Then again, I would much rather have him over Hugh Jackson right now. And that, I think, is maybe the biggest reason that I would take the Bills over the Browns going forward. But I think it's the quarterback for me. I think it's the Mayfield versus Allen. And that I would much rather have Mayfield right now than Allen, and I think that's what's making it closer for me. But it depends on, I think a lot of this is going to depend what your thoughts are on those two quarterbacks. Because a lot of people, even like around here, liked Allen more than Mayfield even before the draft. So for those people, it's definitely not even close. You want Bills 1,000 times over the Browns. 803-0550 is the phone number. What do you think? How big a gap is there between the Bills and the Browns short-term and long-term? We will start the segment off with Mark in Cheektowaga. Mark, what's going on, man? You are on the nightcap.
Hey, guys, love the show. But I don't even know how you can compare those two teams. It's like apples to oranges. I mean, Buffalo, say what you want. They were a playoff team. Cleveland has been 1-31. How that coach even has his job is baffling me. I mean, I don't think you can compare them. I go, you know, everybody's talking Cleveland, how improved they're. They haven't done nothing yet. I mean, they're terrible, that team.
They haven't done nothing. I mean, they've gone out. They got a number one wide receiver. They might get another wide receiver in Dez Bryant. And, you know, for as much as Bean and McDermott say it's a quarterback league, like, it is a quarterback league, and that's part of the reason I wanted to move on from Taylor to improve there. The Browns have the quarterback, the most important position. They have the guy that was at that position for you when you made the playoffs. So there is a difference. It's not the same. To me, if that's the most important position, and the Browns, I think, got markedly better there, this year. I think Tyrod's going to be a big improvement over what they had in DeShone Kizer. He doesn't have to be great. I don't think he will be great. I think he'll be good to average. That's going to be a big improvement. The Bills had good to average. And there's a chance that they get worse than that. So I think that's another reason you can compare them. Quarterback for both teams is different than last year. And again, we're not sure what we're going to get with either team, I think, at the position. Depending on if Cleveland decides to go to Mayfield at some point, because otherwise I think you know what you got in Taylor. But I think you know Cleveland's getting better there. DeShone Kizer was a tire fire last year. That wasn't all on him. He probably should have never been put in that situation. He was essentially asked to carry that offense last year as a second round pick, and he had 11 touchdowns and 22 interceptions. He had twice as many picks as he had touchdowns. He was put in a tough spot, but he was really bad last year. He was so bad last year. So they're getting better there. And we cannot say, sitting here today, that the Bills got better for this year at quarterback. You cannot say that. No way. I think they're comparable. I really do. I think they each have some flaws at positions. I think they each have some strengths. I think both teams went out and got better at certain positions. The Bills, I thought, got better pass rush. They got better at linebacker. The Browns got better at wide receiver. I'd probably say they got better at running back, too. 803-0550 is the phone number. Let's go to Joe. Joe, you're on the Nightcap. What's up?
Yes, how you doing?
Good.
Before the draft, when I was looking at the quarterbacks, I was hoping that we didn't look at Josh Allen at all based on what he did in college, let alone, I don't know if you would, you know, think about his high school stats where he didn't complete 60% of his high school passes either. But there's been so many quarterbacks that are very big with strong arms that just flunked out of the league and that had a much better completion percentage, and I still don't understand why the Bills traded up to get him, because what would it be based on if it's only based on his size and his arm strength, which that seems to be what they did? Then there's an example of a ton of quarterbacks that fit that completed a much higher percentage of passes. So I'm still miffed at the thought that this guy's going to be something special.
Right. Joe, thanks for the call. I kind of feel the same way. I'm more optimistic, though, than I think I was when they drafted him.
Yeah, and honestly, I hate to sound like a jerk when I say this, so forgive me if it sounds like it's jerky, but if you haven't accepted that the man is the Bills quarterback for at least 2 to 3 years by now, I mean, come on, get over it.
I think two.
Yeah, but like, yeah, I don't want to sound like a jerk. You know, like, at the worst, he's here for at least the next 2 years.
Yeah, I think
he's Paxton Lynch.
You could start to argue for that third year, because, like, we saw that with EJ. And is this Lynch's third year?
This is Lynch's third year,
yeah. So two for sure. Yeah.
So, again, I really, like, if you haven't accepted it by now, come on. Get over it, and let's at least hope for the best here, even if you don't like the pick. Because he is a Bill, no matter what. You'd rather want to be proven wrong than to continue to stay on this horse and be proven right. So that's just me at this point. If you haven't gotten over it, get over it.
Let's go to RJ. RJ, what's up, man? You're on the Nightcap.
Hey, what's going on? How you doing tonight?
Good. How about you?
Good. One thing, you keep going back and forth with the Browns and the Bills and what they're alike and why they're not alike. But for the longest time, they've been in where they've been is because of their front offices.
Right.
The drafts have been horrible. They've overreached, and we discussed yesterday, I think, about first-round quarterbacks and where you pick them. The reason I'm optimistic about the Bills is because Jimmy Haslam is a joke of an owner, and they actually brought in somebody to run like Moneyball for the Browns. How does that even work in professional football?
It didn't work.
Yeah, that's what I'm just saying.
Yeah.
So why would anybody even think that this is how you're going to run a team?
Well, to me, I would just looking at it, Cleveland's changed that over. I mean, they've got the football guy. They got John Dorsey in there. So while I think there were obviously flaws to what that previous regime did in Cleveland, going analytical, like they kind of put a bad taste in people's mouth with that. But to me, now that they have John Dorsey in there, like it's a different regime. You can't put, I don't think, the last couple seasons on him.
Yeah, Sashi Brown got fired for a reason. He put together a sorry roster overall. There were some talented pieces, but overall it was not a roster designed on winning. And, hey, it landed you the first pick. Hey, it landed you Baker Mayfield. But, hey, it also landed Sashi Brown in the unemployment line.
What is funny, though, too, is, like, the analytical guys would have told you to took Mayfield. And that's the route the Browns went, even though they have the quote-unquote football guy back. The quote-unquote, like, I'm the guy who said that. But they picked Mayfield, despite the fact that he's not big and he's not a prototypical quarterback. They took him anyway. I think maybe that's just a testament to how good he is. And obviously there's work to be done. I mean, Cleveland, let's be honest, they're not really the greatest spot if you're a quarterback coming into the league. And Josh Rosen pretty much didn't want to go there. He probably never had a choice because he went, 9th, 10th, I think, to Arizona. But he didn't want to go there. Part of that is how they've been run. And I think maybe you got to give them a fresh start. They got a new GM. It might be a little tougher to do it all the way, though, because they still have the same head coach. 803-0550 is the phone number if you want to get in on the conversation. How big a gap is there between the Bills and the Browns? We'll take your calls coming up next. 803-0550 is the phone number. Jody Biasi and Derek Kramer. It's the Nightcap on WGR. Welcome back to the Nightcap. Joe DiBiase and Derek Kramer here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Talking about the gap between the Bills and the Browns. How big of one is there? I think most of us, especially around here, we'd all say we'd take the Bills. Even I would. But there are reasons, I think, that make it closer than a lot of people are leading on or acting. The Browns are getting killed, I think, nationally. Because of the way they seem to be run. Like, their coordinators are seem like more disciplinarians than their head coach. Which is fine. I mean, Hugh Jackson seems like a real nice dude, but do you want that guy running your team? And you have every reason to fire him. Not now, obviously. It's right before the season started. But you went 1-31 the past 2 years. You had reason to get rid of him if you wanted to. He was a head coach before. He was the coach for 1 year in Oakland in 2011. The Raiders that year went 8-8 with, I believe, Jason Campbell as their starting quarterback. I'm looking it up right now. They did not make the playoffs, obviously, 8-8. Carson Palmer started 9 games. God, remember that? Carson Palmer on the Raiders? I hardly do. Jason Campbell started 6 games. Kyle Bowler started 1. he's coached before. But I don't think they had a good reason to want to keep him. All right, let's get more of an update here on the Browns. Mary Kay Cabot from Cleveland.com, all over the Browns, all over everything that's happening down there in Cleveland, including Dez Bryant, who apparently was still visiting with the Browns as of a couple hours ago. They might sign him. Let's get more of an update on the Browns and what they could be looking like going into the season with Mary Kay Cabot, Cleveland.com, on with One Bills Live earlier today.
Joining us on the line right now, the Subway Fresh Take Hotline, to talk about the Browns is a close observer for Cleveland for several years. She is the beat writer for Cleveland.com covering the Browns. Very happy to have Mary Kay Cabot on the line with us. Mary Kay, it's John Murphy and Steve Tasker in Buffalo. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, guys.
It's great to talk with you. Dez Bryant, yes, no, is it going to happen? What do you know?
Well, he's here today, and it's just a matter of how this visit goes. Do they find that it's a fit? The Browns are also still expecting Josh Gordon to come back, so that will factor into this, too. If they think they're going to get Josh back, you have to ask yourself, you know, will you have enough quality reps for all of these guys to go around? Can you keep Jarvis Landry happy and Josh Gordon and Dez Bryant and Antonio Callaway? So in one respect, it's a good problem to have, but something they're going to have to work through today as Dez is in town.
What is the timeline on Josh Gordon? Is he going to make it back for week one or any training camp or any of the preseason?
You know, there are still people that I talk to that think he's going to be back possibly in time for the opener. So I don't know for sure. Everyone's been very, very secretive about this, but there are some people that are optimistic that he is going to make it back for the Steelers.
Hey, Mary-Kate, Steve brought this up on our show earlier today, and I want to get you to weigh in on this. Chemistry issues, if Dez Bryant is there, if Josh Gordon comes back, Jarvis Landry's strong personality. I mean, how much personality can you handle at that one position group and that one wide receiver's meeting room?
Well, it's a lot. It would be a lot. And, you know, when they sit down with Dez Bryant, and I've been writing this and saying, they're going to have to tell him that, look, we'll sign you to this one-year prove-it deal, but you must stay in your lane. We want no distractions. We don't want social media rants. We don't want you bringing any negative energy to this football team. And if you do, this isn't going to work out. I mean, they have to lay down the law. They cannot afford any more distractions in this topsy-turvy receiver room. It's just, you know, it becomes a circus show after a while, if that's what it's going to be. So they've really got to tell him that in no uncertain terms, we're not putting up with anything.
How is this affecting Tyrod Taylor and, of course, Baker Mayfield as well? I mean, the quarterbacks are throwing to all these guys. Do they have guys other than, you know, those top four guys that you're talking about? Of course, Josh Gordon isn't even in the mix right now. Who else is going to step in, and is it affecting the quarterbacks?
Well, I think the quarterbacks are strong enough in and of themselves to handle the quote-unquote diva receiver types that they might have to be dealing with if you bring in a Dez and you have some of these guys on the team. I think they can handle it. I think that Tyrod Taylor is a veteran, and he's been around long enough. This is his eighth season in the NFL. He watched how Joe Flacco handled things for 4 years before he stepped out and became a starter in his own right, as you guys know. So, you know, he can handle these kind of guys, I'm pretty sure. I don't think he's worried about that. And Baker Mayfield is the same. He's started 46 games in college. I don't think this is not like somebody that has started 12 games and you come in and you're going to try to be handling really strong, strong receiver personalities. Baker has got a way about him. He's a leader, and I don't think that it would be an issue for him either.
On the Subway Fresh Take Hotline with Mary-Kate Cabot, covers the Browns for Cleveland.com, also Browns analyst for WKYC-TV and NBCSN in Cleveland. Mary-Kate, one more receiver, one former Browns receiver to ask about. Corey Coleman traded away to the Bills a couple of Sundays ago. What do you think his prospects are here, and why was it that the Cleveland Browns gave up on him fairly early in his career?
Well, he got into the doghouse kind of early on for a number of reasons. I think one of the strikes against him here was, with a lot of people, was that he was the first player picked in the with the bounty of picks that they received from the Carson Wentz trade.
Right.
And when things went south with, you know, Hugh Jackson and Sashi Brown, I just think this was viewed as just an unnecessary pick, not a great way to start trying to rebuild your franchise with a receiver and maybe, you know, not a real big guy and all those different kinds of things. I think he got off on the wrong foot. And then he couldn't stay healthy. He had hamstring injuries. He had a broken hand in each of his first two seasons. And he just never got on the right track. And then there was an incident on New Year's Eve at his apartment where he and his brother and his friend were at least at the scene of, a young man from a suburb of Cleveland who, you know, allegedly got beat up and was allegedly basically left unconscious in Corey's parking lot. Now, Corey was never charged with anything. His brother was charged, but then there was a hung jury, and then his friend was charged with something, I think a felony. But, you know, that didn't sit well with the organization either, that he was involved in this type of an incident, or at least present at this type of an incident that went on. So that did not help him either. And then you just look at the on-the-field stuff. If you watched Hard Knocks, And again, you can cut things up and make them look how you want them to. But if you watch the last episode of Hard Knocks, you can see that they just didn't feel he was fighting for the loose balls. They didn't feel that, but his head was always in the game, that he was giving it full effort and attention, that he was working hard enough on the field and off the field. But, you know, I just think he kind of got in the doghouse here and he could never get himself out.
Give us a little insight as to the Hard Knocks. What are the fans in Cleveland? I mean, every team who has this Hard Knocks, I mean, their fans going to eat that up. What are the fans in Cleveland saying about it? Because, I know that there's some drama always in these Hard Knocks episodes, and whenever team is doing it, they try to play up the drama. How are the fans in Cleveland reacting to it, and what are your thoughts on how it looks for the team?
Well, you know, I think that the people are really enjoying it. I think it, it's bringing a lot of attention to the team. Some of it good, some of it maybe not so good. In terms of, making it seem like the coaches weren't always on the same page in the first episode and things like that. But for the most part, I think it brings some buzz to the Browns. And they could use a little bit of buzz coming off of 0-16 and 1-15. Why not spotlight the team, show what's going on, show that they've got some passionate players like Jarvis Landry who are trying to get this thing turned around. I think that it's good for the team right now.
Mary-Kate, one of the things, one of the buzz things out of Hard Knocks, I think, is it kind of reveals that Hugh Jackson is not, I don't know how to put it, he doesn't seem to have a strong grip on his team. When you look at those volatile, type A personality coordinators and some of the big personalities among the player ranks, you think that's accurate to say based on what we see on Hard Knocks? Is Hugh Jackson really in full command of that team?
Absolutely, 100%. He's in full command of the team, and I think that what you saw in that one episode is he was establishing, because he knows. I mean, he does have some really strong guys as coordinators. These guys have been head coaches before,
sure.
And he's establishing that. This is my show now. So if I want to rest some players and try to get them to the season healthy, that's how I'm going to do it. And I think that was actually him, establishing his ground and saying, no, this is. This is the bus. I get to drive this bus is what the quote was.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about this actual game between the Bills and the Browns tomorrow night. What are some of the front burner issues that the Browns want to look at in this game against the Bills in Cleveland?
Well, their starters didn't play very much. They only played 8 snaps in the first game. So I think they want to get a better look at Tyrod Taylor with his receivers, with his skill players. They need to establish the run better. They need to get a better look at Joel Bitonio at left tackle. They need to just see how this whole offense, this whole first-team offense can operate. So you'll see a little bit more of the first team. Then they want to see continued progress from Baker Mayfield. They were very encouraged what they saw with him in his first game, but now they would like to see a little bit more of that and maybe correct some of the mistakes that he made in his first outing, although there weren't a ton. He did a really nice job. But, just keep him going. And then also you want to see the number 4 overall pick, Dez Bryant. Not Dez Bryant. He's the receiver that's coming in today.
Yeah, Ward.
Denzel Ward.
Yeah.
Denzel Ward, getting out there and just getting more experience because they are relying on him to be their shutdown corner this year.
Does Baker Mayfield have the look of a franchise quarterback, would you say, Mary Kay?
He did to me in that first game, I will tell you. I mean, the reason why I'm saying that is because of the arm talent. He has exceptional arm talent. The ball comes out very fast. He's got a strong arm, and it goes exactly where he wants it to go. The accuracy is uncanny. I haven't seen a locator like that. I don't know if I've seen a locator like that, at least not in many, many years, where you can just put the ball on a dime. And to me right now, that's his forte. He comes out in a hurry, and it goes where it's supposed to.
Those are good qualities for a quarterback to have, no question. But I think one of the reasons the Browns grabbed him so early and kind of bypassed other guys in this draft with or without arm talent is his charisma. This guy seems to get players around him to rally. Talk a little bit about his personality and why that's kind of a difference maker for Mayfield.
Well, you're right about that. He is somebody that guys follow him. He is a leader, and they wanted that. They wanted someone with a very fiery, strong personality that could come in here and take the bull by the horns and lead this team to the next level. And for them, that next level is they expect a championship out of him or multiple championships out of him at some point. So that was probably one of the number one qualities that they really liked in him, or the number one quality that was not a physical trait.
Last thing, Mary Kay, there's nowhere to go but up based on last year's results for the Browns. What's a realistic goal for Cleveland this year in terms of number of wins? Can they get to 6, 7, 8 wins, or maybe even more?
Yeah, you know what? I think they can. I really do think that they can. When I look at, you know, position by position, I don't see any positions where you just go, oh, man, they don't have any of that. I see some really good talent at a lot of positions. And if it all comes together, which I think it's going to come down to the quarterback, it's going to come down first to Tyrod and see how he pulls this whole thing together, or Baker later in the season. But if they get good quarterback play, anything's possible. Let's start out with 6, 7, 8, like you said, and then see how it goes from there.
Did you say Tyrod? Do we have to change how we pronounce his name now?
I said both, if you would.
Did. I see. Yeah. You're middling it. Because you know what? Tyrod was here for 3 years. He never corrected me. I think it's too late now. It's Tyrod.
I know. It's almost too late here, too, even though he's just been here for a short amount of time.
Yeah.
But I'm going to... I'm probably going to start calling him Ty, like Baker does, and then I don't have to worry
about it. There
you go. That's a good point.
Mary Kay, thanks for this. We'll see you at the game tomorrow. We appreciate you spending a few minutes with us today. Thank you.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Mary Kay Cabot, Cleveland.com, there with John Murphy and Steve Tasker. We'll take a timeout here. Continue to talk about our conversation, the gap between the Bills and the Browns, long-term and short-term. How big is it? 803-0550 is the phone number. More next. Joe DiBiase and Derek Kramer here on the Nightcap.
You know, it's a very polarizing topic here in Cleveland when you talk about the Browns head coach, mostly because of the 1-31.
Daryl Ryder from 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. It's still amazing that they went 1-31 the past two seasons. That's so bad.
And that is the reason probably that a lot of fans would think that your question is a little on the crazy side, because even if Hugh Jackson isn't the head coach anymore, well, there is now a question at head coach. Is there another flame out like a Hugh Jackson, or did they finally get their coach right because they haven't done it for a long time?
I think if you get the quarterback right, whoever the coach is, you get the coach right.
That tends to be correct, but at the same time, this is still... I don't want to keep saying because it's still the Browns, but at the same time, what faith do you have in a franchise that has fired coaches before after only one season?
So, see, to me, it's not faith in that franchise. It's faith that Baker Mayfield's going to be a really good quarterback in the NFL. And to me, if he's a really good quarterback in the NFL, I can't see the Browns being relevant.
All the other pieces fall in place when that happens.
And, like, yeah, Jackson, I to be honest, I don't think he's going to coach the whole season. That doesn't mean they have to be 1-15 again. He could be fired after week 5 or 6. They could still end up with 6, 7 wins. Very easily. Their schedule's not easy either, but if I remember correctly, it's easier towards the back end.
I mean,
to me, that might be the spot where Hugh Jackson's not there anymore.
No schedule is easy after you've gone winless, to be fair.
Well, that's true. Because Cleveland looks like the gimme game on everybody else's schedule. Yeah, how do Browns fans look at their schedule?
We got to thank the Browns for being terrible, actually, because that's how the Bills made it via tiebreakers with Baltimore.
Right.
Was based on the opponent's win percentage, and playing Cleveland twice torpedoed the Ravens in that category.
803-0550 is the phone number if you want to get in on the conversation. If you want to talk about Bills, Browns, of course, we're still going to take your calls. I want to transition a little bit, though, because I'm looking for tips. What to do, do's and don'ts for paintball. I'm playing for first time on Saturday.
I've got you some tips.
Okay, perfect. Anybody else? Derek's going to give me some tips. If you want to give me some tips too, you could also text us 550-550, or you could tweet at me at SneakyJoeWGR. We're going to talk about paintball in the next hour. We're going to talk about the Bills and the Browns and more. It's the Nightcap. Joe DiBiase and Derek Kramer. Hour number 2 coming up next here on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.